Oh. Right. I love you guys. Appreciate that. I really do, though. Today is not going to be hard. Like, they're going to start getting hard next week. Today is going to be, man, I just felt like I needed to start with this day and to start with what is to be the foundation of our lives, and that is the Word of God. It's going to feel like, man, I don't know, maybe drinking from a fire hydrant. You're going to go from scripture to scripture and around and all these things. I don't know. 2 Peter 1:3, that's going to be a problem with me. It's getting these scriptures right. It says, His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. It's through our knowledge of Him that we get all things that pertain to life and godliness. That's why it's important. That's why it's important that we study, that we read the Word, and that we pray. We talk about it a lot. We talk about it on a daily basis. That's why it's important. It's because everything that we need for life and godliness is right here, and it's all bound up in our knowledge of Him. Now, today's message is going to be partly facts. Well, it's all going to be facts. You'll see. It's going to be part whatever. The Bible is made up of different kinds of literature. There's poetry in here. There is history in here. There is prophecy in here. And there is instruction in here. And it's important for you to know the difference when you're reading it. It's important for you to understand that some of it is poetry. For instance, it says, from the rising of the sun till the setting of the same. Well, we know that the sun doesn't rise, right? Okay. This means yes, we know that. This means no. You realize that the sun sits still, the earth rotates around it, its orbit around it. That's what makes it look like rising and setting. It's accurate. The only thing that would bring rise to that is the creation story. Adam and Eve, the fall of Adam. You would say, oh, that's only a story to convey a spiritual truth. No, that's not. Amen. It is the truth. It's in the Bible. It's in the historical realm. I'm going to say, I just want to say up front that yeah, I'm not going to try to pretend. I'm going to tell you why you should believe. Amen. Why should you believe the Bible? Amen. I want you to know why you should believe the Bible. And having said that, I'm not sure I did a good job. I'm really not. But that's what we're to do. This thing is by 40 different authors or more, and it's over 1,250 years. It's written over a space of that time. Now, that's a lot of time. But let me read this from 2 Timothy. This is my problem, see, is I don't know when I should read and when I should not read. Those 40 authors had one main goal and one goal, and that was God's plan for humanity. How He would find them, how they would reject him, how they are all sinners, and how he would redeem them through his son. Listen to this scripture. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. It's this, if you have a different translation of the Bible, I'm wondering if the old King James maybe says it. It says God breathed, that this scripture, all scripture is God breathed. It's the breath of God. It's breathed by God. It is the literal words are breathed by God. That's what it means. Now, 2 Peter 1:21. You see what I mean by you're going to feel like you're... 2 Peter 1:21. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Okay? So God didn't take a man and totally strip him of his personality and that sort of thing. Every man had their own personality. We can see their personalities in the different books that they write. We can see their personalities and aims and goals. And so God didn't strip them, but it says that God spoke. When God wrote it, God spoke. Let me read you some more. This is going to be a lot, but who cares? 2 Samuel 23, verse 2. This is David speaking. The Spirit of the Lord God spoke by me. The Spirit of the Lord God spoke by me, and his word was on my tongue. God's word was on the tongue of David. Jeremiah 1:9. Jeremiah 1:9. But the Lord put forth his hand, and he touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. He's put his words in Jeremiah's mouth. Let's read another one. I want you to know. I want you to. 1 Corinthians 14:37. If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are commandments of the Lord. Commandments of the Lord. Paul said that his writings were commandments of the Lord. Not only Paul said that, 2 Peter 3:16. I got to read verse 15 just so you'll know it's Paul. Peter wrote this, but he wrote it about Paul. And consider the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, and also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in him these things, in which some things are hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. God wrote it. Amen. I don't know any other way to say it than to say that God wrote it. And because God wrote it, we're going to believe it. Amen. Now, it's easy to say amen right now. I haven't started hammering you like I'm going to starting next week, but I'm going to start easy and then get hard. What about when it touches your life? Amen. What about when it speaks about your family? That's right. What about when it speaks about your kids? Amen, brother. What about when it speaks about you and your life. Amen. What we're going to do is we're going to claim it as still being God's word. Amen. We're going to say that it's still God's word and it's still the truth. And whatever it says is truth, regardless of how it makes me feel. We're not going to try to change it. Amen. We're not going to say, times have changed. That's right. Amen. There's nothing new under the sun. That's biblical, by the way. Ecclesiastes, look it up. We're not going to say that a culture that we live in has changed. Oh, our culture has changed. That's true. But God's word doesn't change. Amen. God's word stays the same. And God's word is truth. Amen. My word is truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. I am the truth. This is where it starts getting a little convoluted for me because I haven't, let me just be honest with you. I studied and I wrote down scriptures and I looked them up and I did all this stuff and I said, okay, I'm ready. And so I went and I printed out and I made out the outline and I looked at it and I thought, oh, that's exactly what I thought. I thought, this isn't what I intended to do. This isn't what I intended, how I intended it to come out. But this is how it came out. And this is how I'm going to give it to you. You know, let's look at Luke. It's fulfilled prophecy is the main reason. And there are, Mark, you know how many prophecies there are? There are hundreds of prophecies. Over 8,000. There are over 8,000 prophecies in the Bible. Some of them have come true already. Some of them have yet to come true. But this is amazing. No other writing has as much as prophecy or as detailed a prophecy as the Bible has. And I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm getting way ahead of myself. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 27. No, that can't be right. Let's see if verse 35 does it. This is Jesus. He is, that's because Matthew chapter. I was getting ahead of myself. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 27. Okay, are you confused now? Matthew chapter 27. No, that's not it. Verse 35. Then they crucified him. They divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments, and among them, and for my clothing, they cast lots. Now that's Matthew 27:35, in case you're confused about it. And it's talking about how they cast his lot, they cast lots, they divided his garments. Now, back over in Psalms 22. Now, Psalms was written, maybe hundreds of years before. A little over 900. Thank you. Got him. A little over 900 years before Psalm chapter 22, verses 16 through 18. For the dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divided my garments and among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. It's very detailed. They cast lots. They cast lots for my clothing. And he's on the cross and he sees it. They've pierced his feet, pierced his hands, his feet. You can read Isaiah 53 about all of the things that it goes through about Christ. That is the messianic prophecy. And you can just see how every one of them is referring to Christ. Isaiah was written 700-800 years before Christ. All right. Thought maybe God was calling. 700-800 years. Y'all, that's just one. That's just a few. That's 8,000. 8,000. Imagine that. 8,000. You can read Jeremiah 31, and he predicts that the nation of Jerusalem will be drawn back together. What happened? 1948. What happened in 1948? They all came back. They came back, and a Jerusalem state, an Israeli state, was established. Buddha, Confucius, the Quran. We're going to talk about this one at some point. They don't have prophecies, or else they'll have self-fulfilling prophecies. For instance, in the Quran, there was one, I will return to Mecca. So, Jesus said, I'll return from the grave. Did you catch that? Jesus said, I will return from the grave. And he did. Babylon is supposed to have never been built again. Well, it hasn't been built again, but it was supposedly. Let me do another one first. Let me do Ezekiel first. Ezekiel 26. Ezekiel 26, really, it's the whole chapter. Four and five says, and they shall destroy the walls of Tyre and break down her towers. And I will also scrape her dust from her and make her like the top of a rock. It shall be a place for spreading nets in the midst of the sea. For I have spoken it, says the Lord God. It shall become the plunder for the nations. I'm going to read verse 12. You can read it, the whole chapter. They will plunder your riches and pillage your merchandise. They will break down your walls and destroy your pleasant houses. They will lay your stones, your timber, and your soil in the midst of the water. So, you know, this is very particular. He's going to lay them in the middle of the water. Well, what happened was Nebuchadnezzar came along and he laid siege to Tyre. Now, Tyre is kind of a coastal city. It is a coastal city. And the people were afraid and they escaped. And there's a little island off Tyre. A little island out there, and they escaped to this island, all right? And Nebuchadnezzar plundered Tyre, tore down its walls, tore down its tower, tore down its cities, left it in a big heap of rubble, and the people out there on the island, they're considered, on an island, they're considered themselves impenetrable. So Nebuchadnezzar takes off back home. I don't know how long passes, and along comes Alexander the Great, and this is historical fact. This is, you can read this if you want in any historical book, and he looks out there at those people, and he says, And so he says, we got to get to those people. We got to get to them before we can move on, before we can go on. He's conquering the world. And he says, we've got to take care of those people, but they're out there on that island. How are we going to get to them? I tell you what, you take all that rubble there from that city and you throw it into that ocean and you build a bridge out to that island. That's what they did. They built a bridge out to that island. God's word. I mean, that's about Tyre. It doesn't mean anything to us, but that's about Tyre. And it's God's word. He said it, and it came true exactly like he said. They would remove them, they would throw them in the water, and that would be it. Then Babylon would never be built again. Never be built again. Now, destruction of it, destroyed, and Alexander the Great, again, he comes along, he says, wow, that was quite a city. I think I'll rebuild it. Alexander the Great, he did a lot of things. Alexander the Great decided to rebuild Babylon. Within a week, Alexander the Great was dead. That's right. Within a week, he was dead. Listen. The part This is the Luke 24 passage, Luke 24. This is the time when Jesus was, after he had risen from the grave, the disciples were walking back, Jesus walking back with them. And they were kind of despondent, and he's like, what's wrong? Now, they didn't know it was Jesus at the time. I'm giving you the Brother Keith version, obviously. Like, what's wrong? And they're like, where have you been? You've been hiding under a rock for 3 days? Where have you been? And they said, we really thought this was the guy. We really thought that this was the one who would redeem Israel and restore her. He would set up the kingdom and would be powerful. And then in verse 25, 26, he says, oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? And beginning at Moses, the books of Moses, and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, they only had the Old Testament, right? So beginning Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all things concerning himself. And then later on, after he had gone in, had supper with them, and then when he broke bread, they could recognize him. He says, and they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? Didn't our heart burn while he opened the scriptures to us? This is why it's important. What Dr. Rivas said the other night from John chapter 9. There is that one person, that one unnamed person who took the man to the water, and he washed his eyes, and he took him back, and he could see. That one unnamed person is able to make a difference in the world. Some of you are not capable. No, that's not the right word. You know, I get lost for words. You're scared. You're frightened. You're not willing to share the gospel. You think you don't know enough. You're not willing to share it. But what you can do is you can bring your friends to church and we will share the gospel with them. You can bring them to church. You can bring them just like they are and we will share the gospel with them. And hopefully their hearts will burn. I ask you, has your heart ever burned? When you read this scripture, man, I grew up in church till I was old enough to say, forget it. Then I went through whatever I went through. God started calling me, started drawing me. I fought him off as long as I could. And then one Sunday morning, I gave my heart to Jesus. I went home that day and I opened up to John chapter 1, verse 1, and I started reading. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with him. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And I just read that, and it was like I had read it for the first time. It was like it was alive. It was like the words were coming off the page. It was like, didn't my heart burn within me? Didn't your heart burn within you? Oh, we hadn't even talked about the miracles, and I don't have it. I don't have time. But the miracles are Red Sea crossing, Lazarus raised from the dead. It's a transcendent act by a supernatural God. That's what a miracle is. Can you believe in the miracle?
Amen.
Can you believe in God?
Amen.
Friends, I hope and I pray I've done enough. I don't even know. I may do another one just because. But this is the Word of God. And we will be approaching it as the Word of God. And we will be believing it as the Word of God. Doesn't matter what my life says. Yeah, it is still the truth. It's still the Word of God. Stand up with me, if you would. We're going to sing "Speak to My Heart," Lord Jesus. Okay. I don't know what you need to do. If you need to come and kneel, you come and kneel. If you need to come and talk to me, you come and talk to me. Whatever you need to do, you do it today and right now.